Welcome to the Voice of Business brought to you by FT Press. I'm Julie Pfeiffer with Wharton School Publishing. I'd like to continue part two of our conversation with Russ Palmer, author of Ultimate Leadership, Winning Execution Strategies for Your Situation. Russ, the last time we spoke, we discussed various leadership principles. Today, I would like to cover more of the context of those principles. In your opinion, how important is context in leadership?
Well, Julie, I think it's really everything. In other words, it's as important as the principles. Context is all about execution of leadership principles in a given situation. In other words, you could have an executive working in a top-down organization, and it's a do-it-and-do-it-now kind of an environment. All of a sudden, they have to move over and chair a committee of the business roundtable with their peers from around the country. They have to approach this in a much different way than they approach their subordinates from their corner office. Or let's say you change your roles. You were in business, but now you go into academia. Academia is certainly a great distance from the world of business. And that's why most of the people, for instance, that have been in business and gone in as deans of business schools have not necessarily succeeded. They can't make the switch from the environment of the business world into the very different environment of the academic world. Or if a leader in their own organization has to go from a normal, somewhat routine of doing business every day to a crisis situation. Lou Rawls got into a crisis in the Exxon Valdez situation, the oil spill, and it took him 3 weeks to get to go to the site. Which wasn't the way to handle a crisis. He had been delegating it before that as he would normally in his day-to-day business. James Burke, for instance, did it in a much different way on the Tylenol crisis, and he was on the spot immediately talking to the press, telling them what was going on, and this is cited certainly in most circles as the way to do it in a crisis situation.
I think that's interesting because your context can change even within an organization as crises come up or, you know, situations evolve. Russ, in the book, you discuss several different types of leadership contexts, one of those being top-down. What types of situations are typical in that type of situation?
Well, the top-down leadership is, some people would call it more autocratic than a more collegial situation, and you find this often in the auto industry, the construction industry, certainly in the military. Some people that are top-down leaders have difficulty moving over into a more collegial environment, and another thing that sometimes gives them a problem is hubris. It's easier in the top-down organization to begin to think that you know all the answers because of the style that you have. But yes, you can certainly be successful, and there are many top business leaders that are very successful in top-down organizations. What you have to do is not surround yourself with yes men, to listen as opposed to be more insular. You have to welcome new ideas. You have to have town meetings and listen to your employees that what they think about the company and where it's going. Certainly get out to your customers and have an environment of constantly changing the organization to make it better.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm wondering how that would contrast with an organization of peers.
Well, again, that would be an organization that you would have in academia, or you would have in a large law firm or an accounting firm such as I headed. The people want to be participative. They want to feel equal. They want to have a collegial environment. And you often in those situations, such as the University of Pennsylvania or the Wharton School, you have a variety of constituents. You have alumni, and you have students, and you have faculty, and you have a series of maybe 10 or 12 different kinds of constituents, and it's difficult to move in any direction without one of those constituents being offended in some way. And I used to say at the Wharton School, if I got up in the morning and had a vote on what we were going to do today, the vote would be 51-49, and I never knew which way it was going to go.
Right. Yeah, that's a part of trying to bring together various groups and interests. And so that's an interesting challenge with a group of peers. What about the person that has gone out on their own? How can an entrepreneur be successful?
Well, I guess it depends on what they're doing on their own, but it's a totally different type of context. You are usually the singular person that is involved in a lot of different contexts, and you have to interact with customers and employees and the community and bankers. And I think the thing that you have to be sure you do is keep looking at the big picture as opposed to focusing in on a narrow area that probably you brought to this new endeavor. And too often, these small companies that do very well are grown because of an entrepreneur that had a certain patent or a certain engineering ability or something like that. And as the company grows with that entrepreneur focusing on the narrow area, the other areas fall by the wayside. And that's why a lot of young entrepreneurial organizations are ripe for buyout firms who often bring in new management because the original founder and owner just cannot broaden themselves to manage the total picture.
Russ, I think that's some great advice for those that are in an entrepreneurial organization or organizations with more peer groups or in a top-down. And for different contexts and how leaders can be successful, pick up a copy of Ultimate Leadership by Russ Palmer.